Please open your Bibles now to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. As I've mentioned the last couple of weeks, we've been going through a series on the Songs of Ascents, the psalms sung by God's people as they went up to Jerusalem for the great feast days, the three annual feast days. And so this morning we're focusing in on the fifth of those psalms, Psalm 124. Again, these are attributed to David in large part. There are a few of them that are not attributed to David, but we see this one is. And we don't know the exact circumstances of it, and yet, in terms of when he wrote it, yet we know that it is inspired by God, and it relates to the victory of our Lord and Redeemer for His people. So give attention as I read from God's Holy Word, Psalm 124, verses 1 through 8. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the waters would have engulfed us. The stream would have swept over our soul. Then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us to be torn by their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. Have you ever been rescued? Maybe from difficulties that you had on the road as you were traveling. Maybe from an accident or a near miss on the highway. Maybe from some violent storm that you were caught in. Maybe from physical harm or from some serious illness that you were diagnosed with. Maybe from financial calamity or economic loss. Have you been rescued? I'm sure if we took time this morning, you could think of a host of ways that the Lord has rescued you and preserved your life. And Psalm 124 is a corporate psalm of praise that is written by David that is acknowledging this very thing. That apart from God being on the side of his people would not be around to tell about it. They would not be alive. They would not have survived. Yet God is a rescuer of his people. As I mentioned earlier, we don't know the circumstances of Psalm 124, but we do know that David was faced with many serious threats and attacks during his rule as king of Israel, but even before that, as the anointed one who was to follow Saul, he faced many serious threats. Saul himself and the army of Israel pursued him for his life. Because of God's powerful deliverance of his people, the kingdom was established and preserved. And that's the testimony of David as he writes this psalm by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Well, how fitting this psalm was for those pilgrim travelers as they went up to Jerusalem for those three annual feasts each year. As they walked along, they would sing the songs of ascents. And Psalm 124 would have been one of those psalms. And as they sang this psalm, they reflected on the protective care of their God, the one that they were coming to worship in that holy city, the one that they were gathering to rejoice in His deliverances. But this psalm is also fitting for us today, the church today, to praise God for His constant help, for His protection, for His people. James Boyce remarks about how little genuine thanksgiving and praise is expressed regularly by God's people today. Is that your perception? Maybe as you look at your own life, you realize that you don't express the thanksgiving and praise that God deserves regularly enough. That's James Boyce's perception. And he says, the reason is that God has been so faithful to us that we take His protection and deliverance for granted. However, if we were aware of what would happen if God were not protecting us, that we would perish instantly, then we would be thankful and would praise God wholeheartedly and often. We grow callous to the faithful protection and care of our God, and oftentimes our praise is muted as a result. Well, this psalm calls us to just this kind of praise. The reasons for praise are vividly portrayed in four basic figures or four basic metaphors. And notice the if-then structure of that first stanza. The phrase, "had it not been the Lord who was on our side," is repeated for emphasis in those opening lines. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side. And it's highlighting really for us here the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. That doctrine that tells us that God will keep His people throughout this life and bring us into to eternity through our Lord Jesus Christ. He will finish the work that He has begun in our lives. He will persevere to the end with His people. And so it's a psalm that really gives praise to God for that aspect of His ministry, His keeping ministry for His redeemed people. Well, the first image is of an animal swallowing its prey. An animal swallowing its prey in verse 3. The psalmist says they would have swallowed us alive when their anger was kindled against us. And that metaphor for swallowing is really a metaphor for death. So fierce were Israel's enemies that they were about to devour them, just like a lion would devour its prey and swallow its prey. Perhaps David had in mind the Philistines or their hero Goliath, whom he was enabled to defeat by the power of the Lord. It could have been any number of foes that he had in mind, but God preserved His people from death. And we need to remember that we also are preserved from our spiritual enemies by the hand of God, so that they, though they threaten to swallow us up, are not allowed to do so. We often recognize the enemies of believers as being the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world being those who are hostile to Christ and to His people. The flesh being the remnants of the old sinful nature within our own being. And of course, the devil who is prowling around in this world. These are the enemies that we face. And being swallowed up by a lion is an analogy that actually the Apostle Peter uses for Satan's efforts to destroy in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, seeking someone to swallow up, if you will. He prowls around seeking to deceive God's people with lies. He seeks to destroy us through temptations that lead to a great fall and to spiritual harm. He wants to immobilize us. He wants to incapacitate us so that we will not effectively do battle for our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then God is on your side. That's what the psalmist is telling us. God is on your side. The Lord, His Spirit, dwells in you. You have divine weapons to do battle against the adversary, to live victoriously in Christ. Now surely if you do not have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, you will be destroyed. Not only in this life, but you will face eternal destruction in hell. But even as a believer, one who's been reconciled to the living God, saved by His grace, if you are neglecting the means of grace, the tools that God has provided for your protection and your growth, the Word, prayer, the worship of God's people, and the fellowship with God's people, then you will be vulnerable to Satan's attacks. You will be vulnerable to being swallowed up by the adversary. However, in the power of the Lord our Redeemer, there is victory. The Lord is on our side, and we are to use the means He has given so that we might have victory in battle. Secondly, we see an image of a flood engulfing its victims. A flood engulfing its victims in verses 4 and 5. We see there the reference to the waters would have engulfed us. The stream would have swept over us. Raging waters would have swept over our soul. And that's a common metaphor in the Old Testament. If you read through the Psalms, you'll see references of this nature. For example, Psalm 32, verse 6, which we sang earlier. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they will not reach him. That's the protective power of God in the midst of the assaults of this world. Psalm 66:12, you made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance, the preserving power of God through the trials of life. Psalm 69:1-2, save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk in deep mire and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and a flood overflows me. In Palestine, flash floods presented sudden and life-threatening dangers for God's people. Torrential rains falling on hard, sun-baked soil could quickly fill dry stream beds, so the water would come rushing down those stream beds unexpectedly at dangerous levels. Now, we saw an example of that out west recently in one of the national parks in Zion National Park. Just a few weeks ago, a number of people were killed because of a flash flood and the waters rushing down one of these types of narrow channels in the desert. Well, that's the picture here. God's people would have been swallowed up by the floodwaters had the Lord not been on their side. They would have been smashed by the raging river thundering down the dry ravine had the Lord not preserved them from their enemies. They would have been swept entirely away if not for His protection. Well, what are some of the floods that threaten to overwhelm? Maybe it's the diagnosis of a serious illness. The doctor says you have cancer. Maybe it's the waves of grief over the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's the pain of a broken relationship. Maybe it's the guilt of a moral failure. And the waters of fear and anger and bitterness and despair threaten to engulf us. But in the Lord we have a firm foundation. If your life is built on the rock, Jesus Christ, you will not be washed away by the floodwaters of troubles and tribulation, whether physical or whether spiritual. You will be preserved in Him through that trial. In fact, He will use it to refine your faith. He will use it to deepen your experience of His love for you. He will use it to increase the intimacy of your fellowship with Him in Christ as you look to Him in that trial. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 and 25, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words," who heeds, that means hears and obeys, "these words of mine and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." If your life is founded on the rock, Jesus Christ, you will not be swallowed up by engulfing floodwaters. You'll be preserved through those trials of life. Thirdly, there is the image of an animal tearing its prey. An animal tearing its prey. In verse 6, the second part. This first part of verse 6 emphasizes the praise of God in the midst of these deliverances. The second part describes the praise, what the reason is for that praise. And it's because He has not given us to be torn by their teeth. And that's different from the first reference to being swallowed up alive. Different because it pictures a slow, agonizing death or defeat. Instead of being quickly swallowed, it pictures the jaws of an enemy tearing and grinding its prey. And that's really what King Darius expected to see the morning after he had thrown Daniel into the lion's den. In Daniel 6:20, he asked, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" He came there earnestly. He'd been awake all night. He appreciated Daniel, and yet he couldn't reverse the law of the Medes and the Persians. He came looking, hoping. And Daniel most certainly could have answered on that occasion, "Unless the Lord had been on my side, I would have been torn to pieces by their teeth." But the response that we have in Daniel 6:22 is, "My God sent His angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me." The same thing. God was on Daniel's side. God preserved him through that attack. And the Lord is our protector as well. As God's redeemed people, He has sent angels to shut the lions' mouths to deliver Daniel. He also sends His angels to protect us from violent attacks. That's what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 91, verse 11. "For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways." Now, that doesn't mean that we will never suffer in this life. Far from it. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world." You will have tribulation in the world. This doesn't mean that we will never have suffering, but it means that we will be preserved through that suffering. But think about how Jesus overcame the world to secure that peace that He promises His disciples. He did so by laying down His life, His innocent life, for the sins of His people. Think about Psalm 22. It's another Old Testament psalm, messianic psalm. It speaks of the Messiah centuries before Christ came, 1,000 years before Christ came. But in it, we see similar metaphors that we see here in Psalm 124. Psalm 22, verse 13 says, "They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. For dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers encompass me. They pierce my hands and my feet." And so we see here the Lord on the side of His people delivering them from the lion's mouth. Jesus endured the lion's mouth that we might have salvation, that we might have deliverance. His hands and His feet were pierced on the Roman cross to take the penalty that we deserve. His back was torn by the whip of the Romans so that we might be presented as righteous in the eyes of God. By His wounds, we are healed. By faith in His perfect sacrifice, we have this peace with the living God that Jesus promises. And it's through Jesus Christ, in that spiritual union with Jesus Christ, that we are more than conquerors, which we read this morning in Romans 8. Because the Lord is on our side. His peace guards our hearts and our minds. In Him, we will overcome the world and the flesh and the devil, and we will be brought safely to our heavenly home, where we will live with Him forever. That is the hope that we see represented here for us in Christ. Well, fourthly and finally, we see that there's an image of a bird entangled in a trap. A bird in a trap in verse 7. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. The snare is broken and we have escaped. And it pictures for us God's people trapped by the enemy. The more they struggle, the tighter the snare becomes. But by the power of the Lord, the snare is broken and the people escape. Well, how God preserves His church from the snares of the world, from the snares both without and the snares within. Think of it. Over the centuries, He has preserved His people, His church, throughout history, from the snares of false teachers, from the snares of false gospels. He has preserved His church through severe persecution by unrighteous rulers, by hostile governments. By the mighty power of Jesus Christ, His kingdom today is continuing to advance throughout the world. Jesus affirmed to His disciples, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." It is an advancing church because of the power of Christ, because the Lord is on our side. And so we bless and we praise the name of the Lord our God, who is our help, the maker of heaven and earth, as we read in this song. Because of His power, because of His grace, we are spared from the eternal death penalty that we deserve because of our sins. Because of His help, we are preserved on the pathway of sanctification, which leads to glory in His presence eternally. Because of His help, nothing, absolutely nothing, as the Apostle tells us, shall separate us from His love, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we will be brought to share in that glorious inheritance that He has promised us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a certainty. Why? Because the Lord is on our side. Well, as we close, let me ask you this question. Is the Lord on your side? Have you been reconciled to the living God through the blood of the Son, His Son, the eternal Son of God? Because if you have not trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you haven't been reconciled to God, you have no peace with God. The Lord is not on your side. He's against you. His wrath remains upon you. And the only way of escape is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You'll be united to Christ. You'll have fellowship with the living God and the Lord will be on your side. And brothers and sisters in Christ, are you praising God each day because the Lord is on your side? Are you giving Him praise and thanksgiving as the psalmist expresses here for the deliverances that you receive daily by His hand? Let us cultivate a spirit of praise and thanksgiving in our lives as we reflect upon the saving and the keeping power of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Blessed be the Lord. who indeed is on our side. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we realize that it's only by Your amazing grace that we can say the Lord is on our side. We did not seek You, but You sought us out. You have taken the initiative in Your unmerited favor to enter into a relationship with us through Your Son. You've made peace with us through His blood for all who believe in Him. You have opened our eyes by the power of the Spirit who causes us to be born again so that we have responded in faith and repentance. Father, we marvel at Your love, and we pray that You would uphold us in the battle, because the battle is fierce many times in this world as we face various trials and difficulties. Yet help us to remember and to take heart, because we know that You are on our side. Lord, through those trials, refine our faith. Deepen our love for You and our understanding of Your surpassing love for us. And Father, cause us to increase in our intimacy, our fellowship with You through our Lord Jesus Christ. And above all, Heavenly Father, we pray that You would receive all the glory and the praise. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.